We'll do now a review of the weekend. Okay? And a review of the practices. We'll start with just being with the breath. Or if you have another object that is your primary focus, you can be with that. Just letting the awareness and the attention settle. Again, you might find it helpful to have the in-breath, the out-breath, and a pause. We sometimes call it a touch point, so that you're continually bringing your attention to something, even during the pause, which for many people is when they get distracted. And now we'll just add one further step to be with the breath, but bring in ordinary mindfulness practice, meaning that we're with the breath, in-breath, out-breath, and so forth. And when something takes our attention, we notice that. If it stays very long, we make it a new focus until it goes away, or we're not sure what is the main focus, then we come back to the breath. So we bring in some attention to maybe thoughts, or maybe a sound comes. And one technique is to use mental labels, very quiet in the mind, to just let us know what's happening. So we say, planning. And then in, out, oh. Then remembering. And maybe our mind goes to the sound, we say hearing, just very lightly. Most of the attention is on the experience of the hearing. And usually with thoughts, we notice a thought, it doesn't stay, typically. So just about 5 minutes with this very basic mindfulness practice. And now we move to our impermanence practices. First, I'll introduce a new practice that I talked about. This is the reflection on what we can call gross impermanence, or just the impermanence of events, of impermanence of life and death, of change. And so here, we'll just do this for 5 minutes. This is, would be an invitation just for you to reflect on how things change, how things are impermanent, how we have our time when we are young, when we get older, reflect that we each will die, and reflect on how different things change, the seasons change, weathers change, culture changes, politics, history, countries change, art changes, music changes, whatever you like to reflect on just in your own way, just for about 5 minutes. But bring in your own sense of impermanence for yourself, how I also am impermanent. This just can be with ordinary thinking. And now we move to our other impermanence practices. Again, we'll do it just for a short time. Our main impermanence practices were to just to be with the sense of sound or the sensations in the body, or we also worked with taste, maybe smell, and you can also sometimes work with thinking if the mind is quiet. So for now, just to take maybe just one sense, and we can be aware of how different phenomena arise, how they change, and how they end. They stay for a while, they change, so sometimes the emphasis will be more on change, sometimes on something arising, staying, and passing. So you can choose one of the senses, sound, or maybe do about 5 minutes. So you can do, if you want to, you can do 2 or 3 minutes with sound, 2 or 3 minutes with sensation. And now we move to our practices exploring dukkha or reactivity, also explained as the shooting often of the second arrow, or that's one way that it occurs. And we worked with four main practices to explore dukkha. The first practice was to be aware, especially when there's something that is strongly pleasant or unpleasant, and to be able to be with that and notice any tendencies for the pleasant to go to some kind of wanting and then some kind of grasping, or the unpleasant to move to not wanting or some kind of pushing away, often very automatically. So that's one practice where we really try to notice somewhat of a strong sense of pleasant or unpleasant. A second practice is simply to, in a way, set our radar for any moment of reactivity, large or small. And then when it comes, we are mindful of the reactivity. Try to notice it, notice how we may get stuck in it. A third practice especially can be helpful if there's not a lot of reactivity in the present moment. We can remember having been reactive, particularly in the middle range on a scale of 1 to 10, not the most difficult. We maybe remember reactivity from earlier in the day or yesterday, and we bring it to mind. We, in a way, relive it, and then we explore what it's like. We see what it's like in the body or the mind. And then the fourth practice with exploring dukkha or reactivity was to take a situation with reactivity. It could be based on bringing something from the past, or it could happen in the present moment. And we work with the model of the Four Noble Truths. That is, that we say, okay, the first noble truth is there is dukkha or reactivity, and we say, okay, let me see what this is like. And then secondly, we say, is there some kind of grasping or pushing away of a mostly compulsive nature? We try to be aware of that. Third step, we say, can I let go of the reactivity? Can I release the reactivity? And the fourth aspect is sort of remembering techniques or teachings. So these are our four practices, starting with pleasant or unpleasant, then second, looking for reactivity, thirdly, bringing it up from the past, and fourthly, working with the Four Noble Truths. And just choose the one of them that most resonates with you for now, and we'll just work with it for 5 minutes. And choose one of those four. Thank you. And now we'll move to the last set of practices around anatta, or not self. And there were two main practices here. One of them is opening to a sense of flow, or a sense of the movement of experience without much sense of self, or without any sense of self. And this can be explored both in ordinary experience and also in meditative experience. We worked with the sense of learning better how to be with the constituents of experience, sensations in the body, thoughts, emotions, sense of pleasant or unpleasant. We also did some with external perceptions, and just to let them happen as much as possible without controlling or having much sense of self involved. So that's one kind of practice, again, both in ordinary experience and in meditation. And then our second type of practice was particularly noticing when there is a thick sense of self, or we can call it a big sense of self, a contracted sense of self, different metaphors possible, but when there is some kind of strong sense of self. This can be when there is reactivity, this can be when there is a lot of self-centered thinking, it can be when there is a strong sense of liking or not liking, there can be self-consciousness, there can be self-image. And we really try to, again, set our radar. Let me notice when there is a thick sense of self, and then we study it. There's a famous passage from the Zen tradition, from the Japanese Zen teacher Dogen, from about 800 years ago. He says, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by everything. And so we look at that thick sense of self, and as a practice we brought the two together by trying to be with the flow of the different parts of experience, just notice them when they come, one after the other, and then see what is in the way or what makes that hard. Notice the thick sense of self. We combine the two to bring those together. And we can also, you know, more clearly now see how all three of these trainings are connected. How, particularly when we do this last practice, we can see that in a way, we are just being with the impermanent flow of the different parts of experience. And we notice what makes that hard, which is the reactivity or the other aspects of self. So we get also a sense of how these three types of training are very interconnected. So here I'll just invite us to take again about 5 minutes with this bringing together of the practice, the one we did before lunch, where we just let the flow of the different parts of experience occur, noticing sensations, noticing thoughts and so forth, and try to see then when there is any thick sense of self as well. So we'll do this a short time. So I hope that review was helpful. And I'm also intending to have a sheet that lists all the practices and have it sent, I guess, Orit, you send that out. Yeah, very good. We'll do the same with the Qigong sequence. Everyone will get that. You can print it out if you wish. And did you notice that your mind was a little more quiet after the Qigong? Anyone notice that, or it's hard to tell because you're a little sleepy? You have two things happening. Right. So how many people felt a little more quiet after the Qigong? Yeah. I find that. And we have found that over the years, you know, that especially if you do it regularly. So it can take a little bit of time if there are any questions about any of the practices. What I'm thinking of doing is we'll have a little bit of discussion, then we'll have a walking period, and then we'll have a period of metta, loving kindness practice. Then we'll have we do the dana talk, which I think is done in a certain way here, a little different from how we do it, but I have instructions on how to do that. And then the last part, we'll talk about bringing what we've done this weekend into daily life. Okay, so that's the rest of the afternoon. So any questions about, really, it's really about any of the practices we've done, or am I doing it right, or this happened, what should I do? Or it just could also be observations, if you want to share something. Yeah. Unless I say your name again.
Nora.
Noga. N-A?
N-O-G-A.
Noga, okay.
This last session, all the time I fell asleep.
Yeah.
What can I do to prevent? I tried to be like more energetic.
Yeah, that's okay. Sleepiness can come for many reasons. Sometimes it's because we need to sleep. Mm-hmm. I have many years of training to be able to say that. That was a joke. Sometimes we just need to sleep. Sometimes there is sleepiness after a meal, or maybe you have a habit of taking a nap. You didn't get to take a nap. So, and then sometimes there is sleepiness because there is a imbalance of energy and concentration. And so sometimes when the awareness is strong but the energy is a little low, we will feel sleepiness. There's also sometimes sleepiness is there more for psychological reasons, like sometimes something is coming up that we don't want to look at. So it could be all three, could be three of those. Most common would be the second. You know, have you had enough sleep generally? More.
Always
a little more. But probably, probably the second. So what we would do is we could, first of all, it's normal.
What's the second thing?
The second is that there's an imbalance of concentration and energy. And when there's more concentration, the mind is more quiet, but the energy is a little low, we get sleepy. You know, and so then you could see that the answer would be more energy. Right? And so we could really try to find ways. So it might mean if you were, you know, one of the things is that when we do the walking here, we don't get so much energy coming because it's slow walking. So you could, for example, if you'd be doing the walking somewhere else where you could walk outside, you could do more energetic walking. That could be helpful. What I was saying earlier was just to know that it's normal. It's not a problem. So we don't need to shoot the second arrow because of it. Right? Just to know it's normal, it happens. Not a big thing. And so you can stand up. You can do walking meditation that's more energetic. You can do, like if this is happening at home, you could do, maybe you do walking meditation quickly before you sit. You can do something like Qigong. Those would all be helpful. Yeah. The other side of that, when there's more energy and not so much concentration, then we're restless, right? A little bit, can feel a little, not, like we say in English, antsy. Do you know that phrase? Antsy, it's like you have ants.
Antsy. What about when there's no energy and no concentration?
When there's no energy and no concentration, you probably won't feel sleepy.
Seriously?
Well, you always have some concentration and some energy.
Okay.
Yeah. But were you joking or actually thinking?
No.
Let's face out.
Yes.
Okay.
Sleepy.
Oh, so you were sleepy.
I was, yes.
Yeah. You then probably so, and your mind was just all over the place? Yeah.
Just crawling, you know, and
yeah.
And like, I don't know, I can't believe this.
Some of it is just normal. Like when you come, maybe you come from a busy week, and you come for these 2 days. Mm-hmm. There's just some things that it's normal that I can remember. The first time I ever did a whole day, it was a long time ago, and I felt like I was sitting in pea soup.
Why pea soup? Of all things?
Well, that was, I was eating, at that time I was eating a lot of pea soup. I was actually making a lot of pea soup. It was very good.
I love pea soup.
But the idea was that it was very thick, right? And kind of, you know, you feel like you can't move too much in pea soup, you know? So sometimes it's just that way when we come from a busy life and we suddenly come to being more quiet, being more still, meditating a lot. It's not easy to go from a busy life to 2 days of meditation, right? And so sometimes we can just feel tired and especially if you're, I don't know if you're newer or more experienced.
No, I'm newer.
Yeah, this is especially the case if you're newer. It's very normal. If you have been feeling a little sleepy or tired, it's normal. It's like when I say I feel like I am in pea soup, that means I'm kind of tired, kind of dull, like that, you know? And that's normal. And you stay with it and it changes. You get used to it, yeah, more. And so, main thing is not to make a big deal of it. All of these things, you stay with it, and you have some good guidance, and it gets worked out. Yeah. Please.
What about dreaming?
Dreaming?
Yeah, but not dreaming to sleep necessarily. Like
dreaming in.
I have an awareness that I'm not sleeping, but at the same time, I'm also
just
dreaming.
In the meditation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's also normal. You know, it was very interesting for me because I found that a lot. I was, before I was meditating, I was in my like early 20s, and I was very, very interested in dreams. You know, I would be studying dreams a lot. Sometimes I would remember, most days I would remember 4 or 5 dreams, you know. And I actually made it, you know, I wrote them down and I studied the sequences. It was very interesting. It was very... And so sometimes, and there were a lot of, you know, dramatic things happening, as you know, if you've seen dreams, if you look at dreams. And then I started doing meditation retreats and doing a lot of meditation. And I started seeing that even in sitting meditation, there were sometimes short periods of dreams, right? And it actually led me to stop writing down my dreams so much because they were just endless. And they were happening during waking life, but just much briefer. And so it's normal. And you can, but it's interesting because you can almost have some mindfulness of the process and just to study how that works, right? So it can be very interesting. In some traditions, there are practices, some of you may know, particularly we learn about this from Tibetan traditions, where there are practices to be aware of your dreams and to some very detailed practices that one can do with dreaming. That's a little bit different.
The question is it any differently than thoughts that pull you away?
Is it that different? Well, that's an interesting question, because you see there's not such a big difference between just ordinary thinking and dreaming. And that's what I found. You know, especially the short ones, because it would be like the dreaming. I'd be like, maybe I'd be dreaming that I'm, going to visit my friend or something. You know, and then what's the difference between that and just thinking for 10 seconds I'm going to visit my friend? You know, the dream has a little more, have a sense of being there, a little more maybe visual, but something's not so different.
Yeah. It's sometimes called awakening dreaming. It's just when the brain goes automatically to theta waves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that there's some physiological correlate to this. Yeah. And so there are also meditative states which are sort of in between. You know, if you do meditation some, you find there's something we call sinking mind. Have you heard people talk about that? It's sinking mind is, again, it's when the kind of concentration often is high and higher, and the energy is lower, and sometimes people think it's really good meditation because it's kind of pleasant, mm-hmm. It's dreamlike, pleasant, calm, peaceful, but there's not much clarity, and has a dreamlike feeling, and so again that would be imbalance of concentration energy. We want to bring up the energy. Okay, so we'll do 15 minutes walking meditation, and you can use the bathroom. If you want to stay sitting, that's okay. We'll do 15 minutes, then we'll come back for loving kindness practice.